John 14, verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? Because of some things he had said earlier, Judas had this question, you're going to manifest to us and not the world? How's that going to happen? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. You know, love is a lot different to Jesus than it is to the world. He said here, loving God is keeping his commandments. Amen. He that if a man love me, verse 23, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Now here's going to say some more things. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, we're going to live with him. Hallelujah. So you put that together, keeping the commandments, verse 21 and 23, you put them together, keeping the commandment, and we're going to look here in a bit, the main commandment is the law of love. But by keeping those commandments, the Bible said he will manifest himself to us and move in and live with us. Isn't that an interesting thought? You put verse 21 and 23 together, manifest myself to him and make our abode with him. Verse number 23. Now go to chapter 15, verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. Let's go to verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So all these verses put together bring a great understanding of some things about how to live in the blessings of God. Now he puts together in these three verses, you see here, this place of keeping his commandments, which the main commandment is love. We could look down there in the a number of places. You're here in verse number in chapter number 15, verse number 10. Look at verse number 11. Therefore, I have spoken unto you; these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So loving one another is the main commandment. You can see what he's talking about. He's basically saying, when you and I walk in love, walk in love, we will abide in the love of God. Now, I'm going to have to define some things because I'll have to explain what that all means. But he's not just talking about getting saved. He's not just talking about the Holy Spirit coming in and living on the inside of us, although that's true. He's living on the inside of us. But he's talking about living in a place of Jesus and God constantly manifesting his love toward us. That's not just being saved and going through life with nothing else happening. You realize love, God is love. But God doesn't just sit up in heaven and have a warm feeling for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love, Jesus on the cross, according to 1 John 2, Jesus on the cross was love manifested. Manifest. Not just felt. Not just carried around in the heart. But manifested. And that's what he's talking about in these verses. You look closely at the terminology. He's talking about love moving in with us, abiding, and we living in a place of his continual manifested love. Yes. I don't mean he just tells us about it
right.
all through our day, although he does. But I'm talking about he demonstrates
yes.
it. Demonstrate,
yes.
demonstrate, yes. demonstrate, yes. manifest. This is happening. That's happening. Yes. That other's happening. He's got it. See, when he guides us by the Holy Spirit, that's him manifesting his love. Because he's guiding us into what he has for us.
Amen.
All these things that he does. All the washing of the water of the word from condemnation. That's his manifested love. All his comfort whenever trouble arises. That's his manifested love. You understand now what we're talking about? And all his provision. See, God didn't just give us Jesus. With him, he freely gave us all things.
His
what Jesus gave us, or what came with Jesus, is everything that, every need that man has met. Freely gives us all things, and we'll get into that. So, these verses are talking about a place we dwell. You notice he said, I will love him and manifest myself to him. And verse 23, back in chapter 14, verse 23 says, we will come to him, unto him, and make our abode with him.
Yeah.
Say that, make our abode with him.
Make our abode.
Make our abode. An abode is a place you live.
Yeah.
Say it's a place we live.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Then in verse 10 of chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide, live in, dwell in my love.
Yeah.
Where do you live? I live down on so-and-so street. No, you don't. This verse says you live in his love. If we're walking in love and keeping his commandment, he'll demonstrate his love for us. Oh, I can go ahead and get excited about this today. Keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Let's put it this way, in my manifested love. You put all these three verses together, he's talking about manifesting his love for us. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Talking about his love for me.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
And so we will dwell and with him and manifest our love to him. Can you see that's what he's talking about? Now what he's talking about is living in a place where the love of God continually shows up. Continually is working in our life in one area or another. And all of them, so many times, all of them at the same time.
Yes.
People in the world, they say, if it's not one thing, it's another. I say, if I live in this place, I can say, if it's not one blessing, it's another.
Amen.
Just constantly, things just constantly happening.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, I want to look at this morning. I want to dig around in this. This is a place, according to the 11th verse of the 15th chapter, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so it's a place your joy is full. Why would your joy be full? Because you're continually being satisfied with that love.
Yeah.
Amen. It's overflowing in goodness. It's overflowing in blessings and manifestations. It's not just him sharing with us in our heart that he loves us. We need that.
Yeah.
But it's him demonstrating it.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, that's where I want to live.
That's where I do.
I do, don't you? If your joy is full, you're satisfied. And you have no desire for the world. You have no desire to live anywhere else. Amen. He's daily loading you with benefits. Amen. Giving you daily care packages every day. He's just pouring it on, man. Pouring it on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's many, many references to this. I want you to go back to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. This is one I never saw before. I just want to go through some verses about this. There's a place to live in this life where it's constant manifestation of God's love for us. And I'm interested in that. I was looking at this verse and God started showing this to me. And I want you to get a revelation of how to live here. And 1 John 3:1, it says in, this is in the epistle, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not." Amen. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." That jumped off the page at me last night. To bestow. So I decided to look it up. And the archaic root word means provide housing and lodging for us. Behold, for us in this. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Behold what manner of love the Father has provided housing and lodging for us in. Oh. To bestow is a stronger word than just give. I mean, it means to give, but it actually has a lot of rich meaning. If you look it up, I was looking at the meanings of it, and it means to endow. It means, notice what it's talking about here. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has provided housing and lodging for us in." And the definition went on. Excuse me, I didn't finish the definition. The definition goes on, "to put on deposit or in store." So behold, look at this kind of love the Father has bestowed, that has provided housing and lodging for us in, as his family to dwell in. There's much on deposit there, stored up in that love. This is not a sit in your seat service. This is a get out of your seat and wave your hanky service. He's talking about everything that is provided for us in his love, and as because of that love, the Father, say Father, has provided us a place to live, housing, lodging, everything is on deposit in that love. Everything that you would need before you were a twinkle in your parents' eye for the rest of your existence, not just in this life, but for eternity. For eternity. Everything. Everything has been thought through. Everything has been pre-planned. Everything has been put on deposit. Everything. You can start thinking about natural things, but we're not just talking about natural things. You know what? Man's every need has been provided for. Along with the gift of Jesus, God gave us all that we would ever need in this life, or in the life that God authored for us. Amen. It was love that caused God to send his only begotten Son. And but with that Son, Romans 8:32 says, "He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" Freely give. So there is, it was love that gave us Jesus, but it was that same love, to that same intensity, to that same degree, that gives us everything. Everything in life. Amen. It was the same love that provided all things in Christ. Provided restoration back to fellowship with God, righteousness, eternal home in heaven, healing, prosperity, wisdom, supply, victory, boldness to enter into the throne, comfort when you're when the devil's trying to disturb your soul. Everything. Peace that passes all understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have to go through this life depressed, broke, busted, disgusted. Amen. We've got purpose. We've got acceptance in the beloved. We've got acceptance and we've got right standing and not condemnation. Everything that we needed, every need that man had. How many of you needed washing from condemnation? I know I needed washing from condemnation. And that was in that love. Man. Where you're not going around with a cloud over your head. I'm so unworthy. And the devil's always lying and harassing. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. And but there's freedom in that love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Word of God is an inventory list of everything that's in that love. Or let's put it this way. In Father's house. Where are we living? We're living with Him. In that love. In that love is everything. We've got housing and lodging. We've got everything on deposit that we'll ever need. I mean, the devil's gig has been up for a long time. When we go to the Word and see the inventory list of everything that's ours in this household that we live in. Amen. Because He's dwelling with us. We're living in an abode together. We've been invited to His house to live forever. And I'm not just talking about when we go to heaven. I'm talking about the love house. I'm talking about the realm, say realm, of God's love. That's where we're living. That's where we're living. No, let me, that's not completely accurate. The realm of His manifested love. Manifested love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, where you live, you know, you've got a house here in the natural. Where you live is where all your possessions are. And in this place of the love of God is where all our possessions are. Hallelujah. He's given us a place to live where every need is met. Spiritually, mentally, financially, and in every way. Can you say amen? Now, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:8, I'll just refer to this, he that provides not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, we're his own. Are we not? We've been brought into the household of God. That's where we dwell. We belong, honey. We Daddy God, when he's sitting there at the table, in his house, enjoying all the blessings that are there, and you and I walk in to receive, he doesn't look up from his spoon and go, "What are you doing here?" No, he looks up and says, "You belong here. Come on over. Sit down." In fact, he'll pull out the chair. You know what I mean? Sit right here. And he'll pull up the stuff. Say, here. Eat up. Eat up. Freedom from condemnation. The devil's been harassing you from, you know, past accusations. Here, freedom from condemnation. No condemnation in Christ. Eat up, eat up. And listen, eat until you're big, man. Eat, eat. Amen. And he won't look up and say, "What are you doing here?" He'll look up and say, "Welcome to your home. Come on in. All that I have is thine." That's where we live. A household is a place where the head of the house provides for his own. Amen. All that the owner of the house has is made ours for the care of our lives and for our enjoyment. Oh, thank you, Lord. He's talking about this place where we dwell. I'm talking about the love, in that love. He's talking about the love of God being a place that richly provides for His children to dwell in on this earth. Say this earth. We're of the household of God. Ephesians 1:13 says we're of the household. This is the Amplified. We're of the household of God. The Amplified says, which is the household of the Son of His love. The Son of His love. The King James says, His dearly beloved Son, or something like that. The Amplified says, the Son of His love. Oh, Jesus. God loves Jesus. And that's whose household we're in. So this is a household that has love directed towards it. God says, I love this house. I love everybody. I love everybody in that house. I'm going to provide. I have made provision for everybody in that house. Listen, the door's open. Anybody can come in through the Son of His love and get into this house. It's a faith issue. But He carefully watches over this house, taking good care of it. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been brought into the house because of our faith in His love. Get that. Do you hear that? Faith in His love. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, we'll get over there in a bit, or 2, I think, whatever it is. It talks about we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. It's not enough just that God loves me. Well, God loves me, so He won't let anything bad happen to me. No, you got to believe in that love. And believing is not just passive. Believing is an action. You got to act on that love. Believe, act like He'll take care of me. We'll get into that. Amen. But He's talking about a place, about the love of God being a place that He richly provides for all of us. Ephesians 1:13, the Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. Not what I said before wasn't a quote. It was just me saying that. But the Amplified says, He's drawn us and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Glory. Jesus is the Son of God's love. And we're in Him. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So that love is directed towards us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, this is not just a place where we know about the love of God or have knowledge of it. That's the doorway in, all right. We have known and believed. That's what that verse said. But living in the continual manifestation of it through believing it. I've become convinced that the difference in the body of Christ between the haves and the have-nots, whether it be have freedom from condemnation or have not freedom from condemnation, or any of the haves or have anything in Christ, I'm convinced that the difference between the haves and the have-nots is some receive it and some don't. Maybe some don't know about it, but see, you can't receive what you don't know about. Or you can log the mental information in your brain that God loves you, but yet you don't really believe it. Amen. And that keeps a person from being a good receiver. You need to learn to be a good receiver. Because there's a lot on deposit in this house. And it's not deposited there for God, it's deposited for you and I. Listen, this ain't no Motel 6 here. This is the epitome and the pinnacle of the luxurious accommodations you've ever experienced or ever even heard of. The Bible calls it in Psalm 66:12 our wealthy place. It's a wealthy place. In 1 Peter 3:10 it talks about it. It's called there, he that would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips they speak no guile. See, that's the commandment, walking in love. And he said, walking in love, you're going to see love life and see good days. Can you see that? So that's that wealthy place. This is this place. Deuteronomy 11:21, he talks about it again. Days of heaven on earth. 1 Timothy 6:17, he mentions it again. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, see, these are all talking about this house we live in. All talking about these accommodations, lodging and housing. And listen, have you ever been on vacation and you rented somebody's house? And because you rented that house, everything they had there you could use. The dishes in the cabinets, the laundry, you know, the washer and dryer, the cabinets and the house and everything in the garage, the jet skis. You've never been on that kind of vacation by looking at some of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what this is like. I said, that's what this is like. Listen, when you go there, you didn't buy all that stuff, but you get to use it. Right? And that's the way it is. That's what I'm talking about here. That's the way this place is, this place we live called love, is, except there's one difference. It's not just you get to use it for a while. It's actually all yours. And not just for a weekend or a week. You get to stay there for eternity in this house. Hallelujah. And not just stay there for eternity. You get to use it for eternity. And you get to enjoy it for eternity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have faith for this. Tell your neighbor, I'm developing faith for this. Praise the Lord. Everything in the whole gamut of your life, from the beginning to the end of eternity, has all been laid up for you. You come to the place you need washing in the blood of Jesus, it's all laid up. Cleansing is there. Just walk into the place in the house. There's a shower. Turn on the knob, the washing of the water of the Word. It's all yours. Praise the Lord. I'm liking it. And so he's provided this place of abundance, and it's laid up and kept ready for all that will choose to come into Father's house and grow in this knowledge of it and start believing it. Amen. Every room of the house, in the closet, the refrigerator, the pantry, the garage, the backyard, what's down at the dock at the beach. Amen. You got to learn to develop faith to lay hold of it. If you're on vacation and you see all this, and because I remember this happened, we were at somewhere down in Florida one time, and we didn't know the jet skis came with the house. We saw them out there. We're like, nah. But we found out at the end, we could have been riding them the whole time. We didn't have faith to go get the key. That's the way a lot of people are. They look over in that room and over there's, over there's acceptance in the beloved. I wish I was accepted in this house. And it's right there for them. They could just walk in. And when they walk in, Jesus wouldn't look up and say, "What are you doing here? Don't you know you need to earn getting in here?" No, he said, "Welcome to this room of the house. Everything that's here is yours. And there's rest over here. See that lazy boy? Kick that back and rest. You've been worrying about a lot of stuff. Kick that back right there. Right there. Push that button. Yeah, see that? Feel that? Go ahead and take you a nap right there. Rest in my provision. You're not going to have to worry about that anymore. I like what's in this house, don't you? Now, notice Jesus didn't say, or God didn't say back there in 1 John, where it's talking about chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Notice it's not talking about a gift, per se. It doesn't just say that God's given us some gift, but love itself. Which means he didn't just give us these gifts. He gave us his love, which is the fountain of all these gifts. Does that make sense? That all these gifts and honors and blessings and all this goodness flows out of continually. Really, he gave us his heart itself. You understand what I mean by that? He gave us himself. He gave us his heart. And out of that comes everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Do you know when God calls something or calls us something, it makes it so? I said, when he calls things, it makes it so. He said, let there be light, and it became so. When you receive Jesus, God said, just like he said to Jesus the day Jesus was raised from the dead, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He uttered that, and you became his son by that utterance. He called it, and it became so. that we should be called the sons of God. And actually, the ancient manuscripts, the older manuscripts, don't just say, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It goes on in the ancient manuscripts and says, and so it is so. There's even some modern translations that say that, and so it's so. Why? Because he said, you are my son now. Why? Because of our faith. But we didn't just come into a day of love. That sounds strange. That's a worldly term. But we came into a whole realm of living in his continual manifested love. I don't mean to be graphic, but the day you were conceived by your parents was a day of love. But true parenting goes on day after day after day after day. I said, it's not just a one-time thing. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get happy this morning. Hallelujah. And so we've got to learn to take in of everything that's in this dwelling place of love. It's a place near to the Father's heart, near to the Son of His love. And it's mentioned even in the Old Testament, Psalm 91, verse number 1, the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the Greek word or Hebrew word for defense. And it's basically saying that this chapter can go on. It goes on, summarizes. He'll be kept in the time of famine and pestilences and plagues, and thousand will fall on this side and after that. He's basically summarizing by saying keeping and the keeping and preservation of our natural lives is dependent on that we dwell in this place of the Spirit in His love. You know what I mean by that? Because he goes on, talks about all the keeping and preservation of God in our natural lives. Accidents, destruction, famine, all these diseases, plagues, pestilences, they're all mentioned there in Psalm 91. And so, who gets to walk in all that? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. This is a place near to the Father God. It's a place of His love, His manifested love, His manifested presence. And you and I can live there. He that dwelleth, not occasionally visits on vacation, dwells. That's what Jesus said. We'll come and dwell with Him and live with Him. This is not Him coming and visiting. It's not us coming and visiting. It's He lives there, we live there, and we all enjoy it together. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're getting happy, but I'm already happy. We are loved children born of a love God, and God who is love has brought us into this household of His love. Amen. See, we've got to understand, really, the whole New Testament is a revelation of the Father and His family. Behold what manner, this is Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father, or excuse me, Ephesians chapter number 1, I think it is, where it talks about, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family. See, it's not God and servants. It's Father and family. Brought in, family brought into the house. Family that has been adopted into everything the Father has. Or we could say everything He's provided in His love. Isn't that right? God really created man. If you think about it, if you think about the fact God is love. God is love. If you read the Bible carefully, it's not just one of His characteristics, it's who He is. It's like Pastor Nancy said, it's His very essence. It's who He is. You could say He can't help Himself.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's just who He is. And so the reason He created man was because love's not satisfied unless it can give and bless and provide good things. And really, God created man to lavish Himself upon. Come on now. Reveal Himself in all His glory, in all His goodness. Moses said, show me Your glory. And He said, I'll make all My goodness pass before you. Whenever the goodness of God shows up in your life and people go, well, where'd that come from? And you tell them, glory to God. In their eyes, He's glorified. In their eyes, he's glorified. And that's what we should be wanting, to bring glory to God. I said we should want to bring glory to God. And so that means we have to be good receivers. Good receivers of love. Amen. Are you still out there? Love is not just something he does, it's someone he is. He needs to give in order to satisfy his very nature. So he created beings he could lavish himself upon. And so what he did was, he said, I want you to know my love, I want you to believe it, and then I want you to move in. Move into my house where I lavish myself on you. If today you need encouragement, I just flood you with encouragement. If today you need washing from sin consciousness, then that's in my house. It's all there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If today you need wisdom, if today you need victory, if today you need hope, you need something to hold on to, whatever, it's all in that house. There's different rooms and places, but you and I need to be good receivers of it.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:19, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I said, we've moved in. I said, we've moved in. Listen to Psalm 25:13. These are all verses I'd like you to get down your notes and meditate on them. God will reveal them even further to you than we have time to elaborate on them this morning. Psalm 25:13. His soul, he's talking about the man that reverences the God and worships him, loves him, so forth. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The Hebrew of my Bible, a little letter by the margin of my Bible, and down in the margin I look, and rather than ease, dwell at ease, it says in the Hebrew, lodge in goodness. So, where do you live? Let's start identifying where we live. What do you say? Let's start doing like John, the disciple, say, the disciple whom Jesus loves. That wasn't just John. That's you and me.
That's right.
But see, John had a revelation of it, and he believed it. And he said it all the time. And guess what? Because he believed it and said it and believed it and said it and believed it and said it, it showed up to where they couldn't even kill him. They tried to boil him in oil and couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. Because he loves me too much to die that way. I'm going to glorify God in my death. How about you?
Yeah.
Oh, you better watch it. Don't say that. The devil will hear it. That's why I said it. I wanted him to hear it. Because I got faith in the love, and I'm going to say my faith. Woo! Now, I want you to see that this is all conditional in John 15, John 14, on us keeping the commandment. James 2:8 says that the royal law of the New Testament is love. James 2:8. The royal law. It's the pinnacle of all spiritual law in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Every earthly kingdom has a domain, has a realm of authority. Every king, he has a limit to his authority. And God has a realm, and his realm is the love realm. The law governing the realm that he rules over is love. That's the royal law of liberty. That's what he's talking about. Now, we dwell in this realm of yielding to, or in this realm by yielding to and responding to the divine love within us. Us that are born again, we have this love shed abroad in our heart. I can have it and not demonstrate it. You can have it and not demonstrate it, right? We have to not just carry it around, but manifest it. There's love in our hearts towards other people. We're called to manifest that love. And he said, if we will do that, we'll be fulfilling the law of this realm of his domain. Does that make sense?
Yes,
only those that God's love nature, that have this love in their heart, have that nature of the one who gave them birth. We've been given birth to by God, and we have the nature of God. Remember, Jesus said to some people not born again, you of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, you'll do. Sinners have a nature of Satan. Children of God have the nature of God. We have the nature of love. That's the primary essence of God is love. Amen. So when we operate in that love, then what's happening is we stay safe and are kept from the enemy because we're on God's territory, so to speak. We're in his realm. We have not stepped out of the realm of God. Amen. So when we yield to anything that's outside of the realm of love and yield to something different, we're actually yielding to a different realm than God's, which opens the door to the devil. And listen, outside of God's realm, Satan has the right to attack us. What is God's realm? The royal law of that realm is love. If you ever studied the term kingdom of God in the Bible, it's the realm of his domain, where those that have submitted themselves to him have become his. Now, this sounds domineering, but it's not intended to be. They become his subjects. We do it voluntarily. We submit ourselves to him. And he comes in and with all that he has and said, okay, you've submitted yourself to me. Now come into my house and all that I have is thine. Yes. Amen. Amen. And part of submitting ourselves to him is walking in love. And so the primary way the believer gives place to the enemy is to step outside of love. Everybody still with me? We leave the realm of love, in other words. When we do that, the enemy has the right to attack us. So, really, safety lies in staying in love. Amen. Staying in love. Staying in the love realm. Are you still out there?
Yes,
sir. So, since we're in the kingdom of the Son of His love, and love is the realm of His domain, we've got to stay there in actions. Words, actions, and expressions and ways we treat one another. We're actually walking in the kingdom of God or maintaining all our rights in the kingdom of God by walking in love.
Yeah.
Can you see what Jesus meant there in John 15 now?
Yes.
In a greater way. And this is really the secret to the blessed life.
Amen.
We keep ourselves in the love of God in thoughts, words, and actions. And what we do is we become safe.
Yeah.
We're as if we're in a hideaway. We're in a protected place, a refuge from the storms of life and all that goes on and different people's lives that's drowning others in all kinds of misery and heartache and so forth. We're on a different territory, you understand, where we are walking in love and Satan can't touch us. That's a good thought, isn't it? That's what a retreat to... We've got a retreat to live on, man. God doesn't want us just living in Motel 6. You know what I'm talking about? As far as blessings. I'm talking about the size of blessings. He wants us to have royal, rich freedom from condemnation. Rich peace that passes all understanding. I mean, this is a loaded peace. I'm telling you, everything he has, it just goes way beyond Motel 6. In other words, that level of quality. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a place of retreat from the confusion of the world. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there right now. I'm dwelling in a place of just peace, love, joy, and the Holy Ghost. What a home. Hallelujah. You can just hide out there. Retreating with God. I don't mean retreating like backing off of the plan of God, but I'm just talking about where you live. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This really, if you want to live there every day, then the love walk can't be just a note you hit now and then. Your whole life has to be pitched to the key of love. Amen. If you want to live in this place of manifested blessing, live in the love of God towards other people. It's going to mean biting our tongue. Isn't that right? I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah. I want to live in a place where it's constantly manifest. The love of God's constantly manifest. That means I've got to stay in a place where I stay on the spiritual territory of the love of God towards me. Now go to Jude 1:21. We'll wrap this up. I'm just now getting to the beginning. Maybe we'll move on in the next service. We'll see. Jude 1, there's just one chapter here. Look at verse 21. We're familiar with verse 20. Building up yourselves, beloved, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Say that out loud. I keep myself
in the love of God.
Now, what is this? Keeping ourselves in the love walk towards others? Or is this keeping ourselves in the place, the realm of His love for me? It's actually both. Because love flows towards us and from us. So when he says keeping ourselves in the love of God, listen to some other translations. The 20th century New Testament, keep within the love of God. That sounds like that territory, doesn't it? That territory of walking in love towards others. And that is also this territory of where the love of God is manifested towards us. Now listen, as we read these other translations, it'll even come clearer. Amplified says, guard and keep yourself in the love of God. Oh. So notice this territory has a guarding effect on our lives. Outside of that realm, Satan has the right to attack us. Can you see that? And so really, the keeping of our lives isn't something automatic just because God loves us. Or because we got saved. Or, you know, well, God loves us so he won't let anything bad happen to us. We've got to keep ourselves. This isn't a keeping that God does for us. It is, in one sense of the word, but it's a territory that he's able to do that. And it's our responsibility to stay on that territory. Can you see what we're talking about? And just because God loves us don't mean he won't let anything bad happen to us. It's us that, see, his love gave us the authority to say, in the name of Jesus, remember, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose. One translation says, whatever you forbid is forbidden, whatever you allow is allowed. Love gave us the authority of the believer to determine what is allowed in our lives. Amen. God's not going to determine what's allowed in our lives. Well, he loves us. He won't let it happen to you. He loves you. But see, some things are up to you. You got to guard yourself by staying in that territory. Listen, and on that territory, your authority will work.
Amen.
I could tell you stories in my life where it wasn't working. And this was the reason why. But we're out of time. So can you say amen to all this?
Amen.
Keep the commandment of love towards others. Yes. But we need to look at both sides of this. Now, listen to the, let me get the right translation here. Where did it go? The Taylor translation, stay always, this is Jude 1:21. Stay always within the boundaries where the love of God can reach and bless you. Right, there it is. The whole thing. I said, stay always. Listen to it again. Taylor, stay always within the boundaries where the love of God can reach and bless you. This is talking about a place spiritually where God's love, this is a territory. Can you see that? Where he can display and manifest. See, he can't fully bless disobedience. What do you mean disobedience? Not walking in love. Holding unforgiveness towards people. Talking behind their back. Isn't that right? That's disobedience. That's disobedience to the royal law of love. The pinnacle of all spiritual laws of this kingdom. I mean, if we're gonna watch over any area, watch over this one. This is the royal law. This is it, man. So he's saying, watch over that. Guard yourself in that. Are you with me? And you will stay within the boundaries where the love of God can reach and bless you, because he can't fully bless disobedience. That's territory where Satan has access to us. And God didn't put us out there. We put ourselves out there. Is that making any sense? So he's talking about a place where he can fully provide for us like he wants. You know, there's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want the perfect, so I'm going to walk in love. Anybody else with me on that? How many of you know he longs to do so much for us? He longs to do so much. But we've got to do some things in order to stay on that territory where he can fully do what he wants to do. That's what this is talking about. And so there are other things. The Bible says in Romans 8, 35 through 39, no other outside force can separate us from the love of God. But see, Satan will deceive us into stepping off the territory and getting outside of the where his love can reach and bless us. It's not Satan separating us. It's us giving place to the devil. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of the word this morning?
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot more to this. Can you see what we're talking about? Maybe we'll just spend some more time on this.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is an invitation for you to live in a place where there's a constant manifestation of the love of God. Not just knowing about it, but believing it, receiving it, and watching God show up and show out.
Amen.
Let's live lives to where every service we come in is like, man, I got another testimony. I got to tell you.
Yes.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. God showed me a room in this house that I didn't even know was over there. It's called No Condemnation over there. Hallelujah. I've been living my entire life without enjoying what's in that room. I'm ready to go in there and soak in that room. Just soak in that room. Soak in the love that made me free from condemnation. I've been listening to other voices my entire life. Yakety yak yak. You're unworthy. You're this. God doesn't love you. You failed so many times. He's displeased with you. And I found there's a room in this house. I can go in there and just get washed with that. And I don't believe those lies anymore of the enemy. I believe the love. I said, I believe the love. How do you believe the love? You start receiving it and saying it. Start receiving it and saying it. And then just enjoying it, accepting that it's so.
Hallelujah.
You belong in that room too. You can go in that room anytime you need. Take in anything you need in there. Carry anything you need out of there. For the enjoyment of your life.
Yes, amen.
Freedom from condemnation. How many of you know life without life with a harassed mind, harassed with condemnation? That's not living. God's got something better. Because of his love, he's got something better for us. He wants us to enjoy acceptance in the beloved. He says, hey, you belong in this house. Come on in. Doors open. I gave you the keys. I gave you the royal invitation from heaven. Come on in here. But he won't make us go in there. He accepts us in there, but he won't make us. Amen. Is there anything you haven't been enjoying in life? Then find the room in this house where it's at. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. Colossians 1, 11 and 12, it talks about that he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and has accepted us. He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Amen.
Meet to be partakers means worthy, able, without condemn, no slap on the wrist, no to be partakers.
Right.
Listen, belly up.